Amen. This morning, we've gathered together to bless the Lord, the young, the old, the little children, in their own sweet and simple ways. We've all gathered together to bless the Lord. That is why we're here. Yes, there are many other reasons too that we're here, but we are here because the God of heaven broke in on the scene of our lives and reached down and touched us and had mercy upon us and saved our souls. And that's why we're here this morning. And we've come to bless the God of heaven because of His love and His mercy that He poured out abundantly upon us and that He saved us from our sins. Yes, we've come to bless the Lord. And our little ones are with us, our little children, they are here. And they don't understand all of what we just said, but they are here and they see us and they watch us and they've come to bless the Lord in their own sweet and simple way also. And maybe there's someone here this morning who doesn't know how to bless the Lord. Maybe you've never touched heaven before in your life. Oh, may God open your eyes today to the reality of a living God. A living God. We greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here after a busy week. Oh, what a refreshing to gather together with the saints of God. Let's kneel together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we've come this morning to bless You. We've come with our little ones this morning, dear God, to bless You. We thank You, God, for all of the little ones that You've given to us, Lord. And we desire this morning, God, that they would go in the right direction, that they would see the right examples from us, that they would pick up the spirit of that which we are about, dear God. We do thank You that we can have our little ones here, O God. I look back to the day when we were by ourselves, and we had nowhere to go to church, Lord. Oh God, I thank You this morning that I have a place to go to church. And my little ones can be here. And my sons and my daughters can be here. And I have brothers and sisters that are here. Oh God, I thank You for a place to go to church. I thank You for a brotherhood, Lord. Blessed be Your name this morning, God. We praise You, we honor You, we exalt Your name. Your name is high and lifted up, it is above all names. And we glorify You this morning, God. We bring praise unto You, even the fruit of our lips. We bring them up before Your throne, O God, and we ask You to bless us this morning. Our faces turn heavenward, Lord, for a blessing. For a blessing from our Father. O Lord, You know what we need this morning. Meet our needs, dear God. You know exactly what we need. Give guidance to us, Lord, even as we prayed downstairs. Where we are veering off a little, Lord, pull us back. Father, where we have lost a vision, I pray You clarify it again this morning. And, O God, we just desire to praise You and to bless Your name, and we desire that our lives would glorify Your name. We pray that You'll take charge of this service, God, in every part. We ask You, Lord, to do that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, what a joy and a blessing to be here. What a blessing to have a church to come to when you worked hard all week and life's been real. What a blessing to have a church to come to. Sometimes we ministers, we get so busy in the work of God, we forget what it's like for many of you to work all week long and then come here on Sunday. What a blessing. What a joy to have a place to gather together. And yes, maybe you've been busy during the week. And yes, maybe your mind's a little foggy today. But you sit down here in this meeting and you say, oh, praise God. we get to sing again. Praise God. We get to hear the Word of God again. We get to be washed by the Word of God again this morning. What a joy. I'm glad to be a working man this last week. I have a special appreciation for the meeting this morning because of that. Well, this morning I would like to bring a meditation. Oh, maybe I could call it a Sunday school class or a teaching. I wanted to share it last week, but the Lord changed the message last week, so we'll share it this week. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to hear it that wouldn't have heard it last week. We trust God for all of that. But I would like to speak this morning, have a little teaching and a meditation on the subject of gentleness. Gentleness. In our cell group, we decided that we would study the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and we were just kind of going around the room taking different ones, and different brothers were choosing the subjects that they would like to study and lead the discussion on. And as I looked down through the list before the meeting, I knew right away where I would like to choose to study. And that was the subject of gentleness. I thought, I need this study probably as well, if not more, than others that are in the room. Speaking of our cell group, I think that I would like to study the subject of gentleness and lead the discussion on it. I knew that I needed it. Well, I found some very interesting things as we did that study, and I'd like to share them with you this morning. And maybe, by the grace of God, our ideas about the Word will change some. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Speaking on this side of the room a little bit, brethren, gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And therefore, I believe that it should be in all of our lives. It's part of being a godly man, yet most men react somewhat to the subject of gentleness. It's not one of our strong points, is it, brethren? But yet it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I believe that we can have just as much gentleness as we can have love, or just as much gentleness as we can have self-control, and just as much gentleness as we can have peace, because it is a fruit or a manifestation or the outflow and the outworking of the Spirit of God working in the heart of a man. Gentleness. Many men react to the Word, don't like it. They relate gentleness to being effeminate. And this morning, I'm very much against being effeminate. I don't believe it's right for a man to be effeminate. Not at all. But I do think it's right for a man to be a gentleman. Just like the Word says, gentleman. I do believe that's right. And I trust that as we look at this subject a little bit this morning, more of a teaching, that we will see that there's a beautiful balance between being gentle and being a man. And it may be that your idea of what is gentle is totally different than what the Bible says. I must admit, as I did the study, I got a totally different view of what it is to be gentle. So we want to look at that just a little bit, turning in Galatians 5 here this morning, verse 22. We'll read verse 22 through 24. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Which means you can have all you want. You can have all the love you want. You can have all the joy you want. You can have all the peace you want. You can have all the long-suffering you want. You can have all the gentleness you want. There's no law against it. And then verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Gentleness. Well, I was really challenged as we looked at this subject in our cell group. What does gentleness mean? Gentleness is a kindly, considerate disposition or character. A kindly, considerate disposition or character. Some of the responses that came my way that Wednesday evening that we studied it, let me just share a few of them with you to show you how blind we are, men, about this subject. One brother said, I never heard a message on it in my life. Have you? Let me see your hands. Have you ever heard a message on gentleness? There's not. The ones that are in the cell group are the only ones that are raising their hands. Well, one brother said that. I've never heard a message on it in my life. Oh, I thought that was interesting. Another brother said, I didn't know it was in the Bible. I didn't know it was there. Another brother said, why don't we ever hear about it? You know why we don't ever hear about it? Because the men are the ones that do the preaching in our church services. And it's not one of our greatest strengths, is it, brethren? That's why we don't hear very much about it. It's not so easy to preach about something that you sense quite a bit of need in your own life about it. You know, your heart just doesn't go in that direction when the experience of your reality is not there. So therefore, we don't hear very much about it. Amen? That's the way it is. Listen to some of the synonyms of the word gentleness this morning. Soft. You say, oh, I don't like that word. Well, don't forget the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Soft, sensitive, mild, tame, meek, docile, moderate, peaceful, and merciful. Let me give you a few of the opposites. And I'll give you a commentary of your experience. Severe, rough, harsh, pushy, insensitive. And all the wives said softly underneath their breath, Amen. Amen. Severe, rough, harsh, pushy, insensitive. And I'm afraid many times, brethren, these characteristics, we call them manliness. But the Bible calls them the opposite of gentleness. Severe, rough, harsh, pushy, insensitive. We call it manliness. Out in the world, they call it macho manliness. But the Bible calls it the opposite of gentleness. Consider these things this morning. I looked up the word gentleness in the Old Testament. It only comes a couple of times, but one of the times is in the book of Psalms where David is saying to God, Thy gentleness hath made me great. David said those words to God. He said, Lord, Thy gentleness has made me great. Thy gentleness, Thy character, flowing into my life, working out in my life has made me great. That's a beautiful testimony for David, isn't it? What does the Hebrew word for gentleness mean? It means to bend low. Another word would be to condescend. Lord, Thy condescension has made me great. Gentleness, to bend low. In the Old Testament, if you look at the words, it's real close to the word humility, brethren. Real close to the word humility. Not effeminate. Not at all effeminate. Humility. That's not effeminate. That's the most godly attribute we could have. Humility. It's real close to the word humility. Does anyone this morning know the symbol of gentleness? Who said it? What was it? A dove. The symbol of gentleness is a dove. That's right. That's known the world around. Why? Well, let's think about a dove for a minute. A dove has a gentle sound. A dove has a gentle color. A dove has a gentle flight pattern. If you ever watch them fly, I love to watch them fly. A dove has gentle eyes. And a dove wouldn't hurt a thing. That's why Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as a dove, because a dove wouldn't hurt anything. A dove has a gentle spirit about it. You take a dove and an eagle and put the two together. They're very different animals. God made them both, but they look very different. They act very different. They fly very different. Their behavior is totally different. And there's a difference between the spirit of a dove and the spirit of an eagle. The spirit of a dove is a gentle spirit. Just consider gentleness a little bit this morning. Turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Christ was a gentle man. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the express image of the Father. If you want to study what a real man is like, then you need to study the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He was the epitome of a godly man. He was the express image of God in heaven. So if you want to find out this morning what a real man is, study the life of our Lord Jesus. He was a real man. He was a godly man. He was a man. And we can see that as we study through the Scriptures. He was a man. And I'm not saying this morning all gentleness. Yes, there are other things. And Christ did chase the money changers out of the temple, praise God. But He was a gentle man. Reading in Isaiah 42, this is a prophecy of our Lord Jesus. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. These words that we read are one of the prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it's giving some of His characteristics. What kind of a man this servant is. What kind of a man this servant is going to be. And I'd like us to notice in verse 3 some very interesting words. And These words have stuck in my heart, I don't know, maybe 4 years now. My mind goes back to a time when we were having some ministry classes here on Saturdays, and different of the brethren were coming here, and we were sharing with them different subjects of ministry, and then we would give them opportunities to share. And Brother Harold Herr shared his message out of Isaiah 42 and verse 3, and he was speaking about Jesus. And he said about Jesus, "A bruised reed shall he not break." Now he brought out in here that a reed, we know what a reed is. It's something that grows by a lake or a pond. It's just a reed. There's not much to it, but they used it for piping in Old Testament days. And a reed is very delicate. And a reed doesn't cost very much. And a reed can easily be discarded. But it says here of Jesus, "A bruised reed shall he not break." Here we have this little reed. It is very insignificant, very invaluable. Plenty of them around. You can get them all you want. They're a dime a dozen, or probably a penny a dozen. But yet, our Lord Jesus, "A bruised reed shall he not break." These verses are speaking about the sensitive nature of our Lord Jesus. He was a very sensitive man. He was a gentle man. He was concerned about the feelings of others. He was concerned about how it sounded. He was concerned about how it affected the others, what he did or what he said, because he was a very sensitive man. Then it goes on to say, "A smoking flax shall he not quench." And there, flax was used to burn a light. And if you know anything at all about flax, after it burns for a while, it can easily get down to the place where it's just smoldering. And when it gets down to that time, it's time to trim it so that the fire will come up again. But flax, again, is a very insignificant thing, and you can just throw it away and get another one. But here, we see Jesus again. He's got a flax. It's a smoking flax. It's dimly burning. It's just barely burning. There's just a little bit of smoke coming off of it, but he's not going to quench that. No, he's not. He's not going to walk by and say, "Well, that flax is just barely smoking. We'll just snuff it out." No, that's not the way our Lord Jesus was. No, he was very sensitive. And if he found the flax that was just smoldering, he would just come along and carefully snip off the top of it and kindle the fire again so that the fire would burn. Amen. And again, we see the gentle, sensitive nature of our Lord Jesus. And I don't challenge you, brethren, this morning without also challenging my own heart and life in this area. It's so easy for us to think that it's manly to be harsh and pushy, and push our weight around. But it's not manly. It's not. That isn't the way that our Lord Jesus conducted himself. He was careful, and he was sensitive. When I think of the Lord Jesus and his nature, I think of the time that he called the little children into his midst and set them upon his knee and laid his hands upon them, and he blessed them. I see that as a beautiful example of his gentle nature. I think about the woman who was taken in adultery. And the Pharisees brought her to Jesus, expecting that he's going to deal with this woman for the evil in her life. But Jesus dealt so tenderly, so gently, so mercifully with that woman taken in adultery. I wonder how she felt that day when she walked away from Jesus with the words, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I wonder if she was encouraged to live pure and holy and right because she heard the words, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." These are examples of the gentleness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And was not He even called the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb? A lamb was a yearling, a one-year-old, a lamb, still had a lamb spirit. It wasn't a sheep yet, it was just a lamb, and a one-year-old lamb still has the spirit of a lamb. It's very calm, it's very gentle, and yes, God the Father chose to name the sacrifice that would be paid for your sins and mine, the Lamb of God. And Jesus had a lamb-like spirit when He went into Pilate's judgment hall, and when He went before those accusers, and when He stood there to be persecuted and to have a cat of nine tails thrown across His back and all the things that they did to Him there, our Lord Jesus had a lamb-like spirit during all of that time. Just like it says in Isaiah 53, as a lamb before the slaughterers, or as a sheep before the shearers. He didn't open His mouth. That characteristic that is being spoken about there is that of gentleness. Our Lord Jesus was gentle. That is, He had a kindly, considerate, sensitive disposition. That's what gentleness is. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians yet. And what we're doing here is just having a little Sunday school class and looking through the New Testament now at a few of the verses where the word comes up. By the way, we won't turn there, but in Philippians chapter 4 where it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." That word moderation there is gentleness. It's the Greek word for gentleness. That sounds different, doesn't it? Let your life be gentle. The Lord is at hand. Jesus is coming back. Let your life be gentle. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, we see just a little bit into the life of the Apostle Paul. We can see what kind of a man he was. As we look at chapter 2 and verse 7, he says these words, "But we," that's he and those who traveled with him, "but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse or a mother cherisheth her children." What a beautiful picture we have there. You know, that one causes the macho man in us kind of even to back away at the thought of it. But Paul says, when we were among you there at Thessalonica, we were gentle among you. And if you want to find an example of how we were toward you, you go find a nursing mother. And you watch that nursing mother. And you watch how careful and how she cherishes that little child. Paul says, that's the way we were toward you. That's the way we treated you. We were gentle among you, just like a nursing mother cherisheth her little child. So careful, so sensitive with that little one. And a couple verses later, we also find that of a father. In verse 11, "As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." There we have another beautiful example. And that of a father cherishing, caring for, comforting, and encouraging his children. That was Paul's testimony among those at Thessalonica. Turn with me also to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we find the word in verse 24. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Now notice there, we have an opposite. First Paul gives the opposite. He says the servant of the Lord must not strive. Then he gives the opposite of that. But be gentle instead. Those are opposites. Striving and gentleness, they don't go together. Arguing and gentleness, they don't go together. And Paul is saying that the servant of the Lord must not be a striver, but instead, one who is gentle. That is, one who has a kindly, sensitive, considerate disposition. And here, the motivation of it all is redemption. If peradventure they might win that soul, even though someone may come with an argumentative spirit, Paul says, don't argue with them, because the servant of the Lord must not strive, but instead be gentle toward all men, and the purpose behind it is the redemption of that soul. So be careful, Paul says to Timothy, as you minister to people, don't plow them over, don't blast them, don't let them have it, but be gentle toward them, because salvation is the end of what you're doing. And therefore, just like Paul did, with the Thessalonians there, he cared for them like he was gentle among them, like a nurse cherisheth her children. Here we see Paul speaking again a word of admonition. Don't strive with those that oppose you, but rather be gentle toward them. And peradventure you might be able to save their soul. Gentleness. Timothy, have a kindly, considerate, sensitive disposition toward all them that are without and within. All right, let's look at the next one in James chapter 3. We'll look there next. James chapter 3 and verse 17. Here we find out that gentleness is part of the definition of true wisdom. It's one of the characteristics of true wisdom. Notice it. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So here we see the word again. This is part of the wisdom that comes from above. And brothers, this one really challenged my own heart as I considered. We're the ones that are supposed to have the wisdom. We're the ones that do the counseling. And I don't mean that the sisters don't counsel, but wisdom falls on the men. We know it's that way. And the counseling falls on the men. And we're the ones that are supposed to have the wisdom that is from above. And one of the things that characterizes that wisdom is that gentle, kindly, considerate, sensitive disposition. That's part of the wisdom that comes from above. And I was challenged by that. Because so many times, it's lacking in my own life. That kindly, considerate approach to those that I'm counseling with who are seeking counsel. And lastly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read there yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Just to bring this back together again with Christ, Paul says these words. Now I beseech you, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Well, that's interesting that Paul would use such a phrase as that, because what Paul is saying is, look, please, Corinthians, I beseech you, not with a harsh attitude, not with a meanness, not with a disgusted attitude, not with a frustrated attitude, But I beseech you with an attitude of meekness and with an attitude of the gentleness of Christ. Heed what I say. I don't want to come and be bold. I don't want to come and scold you. I don't want to come and put things in order. I'm beseeching you with an attitude of the gentleness of Christ to change your ways. That's what he's pleading for there. And again, I was challenged with that. How much easier it is to exercise authority, to get bold, to tell people what to do. When what Paul's first response was, meekness and gentleness of Christ, to make the appeals that way, rather than do this or do that or straighten up. And many times in my home, I find myself failing in this very area, wanting it to get done quick, wanting it to get done right now, and not turning to that gentle spirit, that meek spirit of Christ to get things done in the home. It's so much easier to just be pushy and to get a little harsh and firm and tell them the way to do it and let's get it done right away. But it's not the gentleness of Christ. And many times it wounds the family. I'm speaking about my own, not yours. My own. It wounds the family. It's not right. It's something I need to grow in. I noticed this as I've been meditating upon this subject, and I was glad for all the exercise. I studied for it for the cell group on a Wednesday night. Then I studied to preach it last Sunday morning and didn't get to preach it last Sunday morning. Then I studied again this morning to preach it, so I guess God knows I really need to hear this one. But as I meditated upon it more and more, I noticed this, that this lack of gentleness, it shows up most in close relationships. In the distant relationships, we usually know how we're supposed to be. And we know better. You know, like you don't walk into the grocery store and tell the grocery store attendant, hey, give me one of those or give me two of those. You don't do it that way. We know better than that. But in those close relationships with our wives, with our husbands, with our children, where it's a close relationship, somehow we forget our sensitivity and our gentleness, and there we just say, let's do it. Get it done. Right here. Change this. That's not the gentleness of Christ. It wounds. It hurts. It causes little offenses. Praise God that our wives overlook them and they keep loving us anyway. Praise God that our children, they have mercy on us and they're very forgiving. But these things do hurt and they do wound. And they're in those close relationships. I thought of just a few applications in closing. I thought about authority. You know, there's a difference between authority and that quiet, gentle authority in a home. There is a difference. I'd like to just lift that up again this morning to the brothers here. There is a quiet, gentle authority which is the purest, the sweetest, and the most powerful authority that you have available as a man. It's not as you may think. It's not in pushing your weight around. It's not in being strong. It's not in having the strongest word. It's not in being the firmest one. It's not in having the loudest voice. But there is an authority, which is a spiritual authority, which flows through a home when there is that quiet, gentle authority. That's authority. It's hard to kick against. It's hard for a young person to fight against it. It's hard for a young person to argue against that quiet, gentle authority. But it's the kind you want. I want to encourage you in that. I thought about disputes. And how does gentleness apply to disputes? Well, soft answers, they turn away wrath. The Bible's very clear on that. And there are disputes in our homes. You have disputes in your homes. You may have a dispute with a child. You may have an argument with a teenager. You may have already fallen into the trap, fathers or mothers, the trap of arguing with your young people. Don't do it! I mean, make a law inside of your heart, a principle within. I will not argue and fight with my mouth with my young people. You don't need to. Soft answers. Turn away wrath. I thought about in the area of reproof and corrections. And again, men, we find ourselves doing this. We do a lot of corrections. We give a lot of reproofs. We're the head of the house. We're supposed to. It's part of our life. It's part of our responsibilities. But you think with me, have you ever been corrected or reproved by somebody who was insensitive, harsh, uncaring, pushy? How did it feel? Did you learn anything from it? Did you heed the correction? Did the reproof reach down into your heart? Or do you look back on it now as just a bad experience and you don't care much for that person anymore anyway after it happened? We need to consider the difference between that kind of a correction and a reproof and one that is gentle, one that is lowly, one that is humble, one that is sensitive, one that is careful about the feeling of the other one who is getting the reproof. And we do need to give them. As fathers, it's very important that we learn how to give reproof and correction to our family, whether it be our wives or whether it be our children or whether it be brothers and sisters in the fellowship. But a gentle reproof is so easily received, and the other kind hardly ever changes a life. Gentleness, that is that kindly, considerate, sensitive disposition. The Bible says it's a fruit of the Spirit, and I want to hasten to say that at the end of the message. It is a fruit of the Spirit. This is something that we can't just drum up. And this one, all of us men over here, we would say, amen. We need the grace of God on this one. The wives over here and the young ladies, their disposition is more on the gentle side. And therefore, they may find this one easier. And therefore, you see it more in their lives too. But consider with me, brethren, even though gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, our heart must be open for that attribute to be in our lives, or we will not receive the grace to see it worked out in our lives. It doesn't just flow in there. If we have harshness and we have insensitive attitudes and we have a pushy nature, it takes more than just the fruit of the Spirit. We need to see the value and the beauty of this attribute. And then God's grace will come and flow within our hearts and work out a gentleness within our lives. Well, as I said at the beginning, it's not just for you. I also take the admonition seriously in my own heart. I do acknowledge my need in this area. I know that I probably have a lot of worldly philosophies about what a man is supposed to be, but may we take our philosophies and line them up with the Word of God. And then when we're done, I believe that we can truly be gentle men, just like I believe we ought to be. Gentle, but yet men. Men, yes, that are tough, who can work hard, who can smash their finger and keep right on going, who can sweat all day long, who can go through all kinds of suffering and trials. Yes, that's manliness. But a man who can do all that, but at the same time, be gentle, kind, considerate, and sensitive. This is a gentle man. This is the man Christ Jesus. May we seek to be like Him in this area also. Let's kneel together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this meditation this morning. God, we say amen. It's a need. We all know it, Lord. We've never heard a message on it. And there are many of us here in the room. There are men 55, 60 years old in this room. We never heard a message on it, Father. So we do acknowledge that we fall much short of it. God, I pray, just take this little message and cause the meditation of it to sink down in our hearts, all of our hearts, Lord, but yea, more specifically us men, let this meditation sink down in our hearts, God, and bring some accountability to our conscience. And Lord, make us like Jesus in this area also. Oh, Father, we do commit this into your hands and the Word into your hands and ask you, God, to send it forth and do that which you purpose it to do in each and every one of our lives. Oh, Father, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.